Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the Friends of History Debating Society, and my good mate Jeremy Zachas in Sydney, New South Wales, is here to celebrate the first moments of springtime in anticipation, asking the well-known aura of Super Grok. It is 4:19 a.m., the 23rd of September in Sydney. Exactly the same hour and time, however, minus 14 hours in New England. So I go into autumn. So we're going to go endless spring. As our summer ends, Jeremy's spring begins. Jeremy, a very good day to you. No more worries about what kind of winter is going to be. Here comes springtime. Now, with springtime, the flowers, the birds, and the snakes. Let's begin with the climate. Is there rain expected? Do you have a rainy springtime already? Or is there more talk of El Nino? Good evening to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Well, actually, there's talk of both, believe it or not. Right now, as I sit and talk to you, we've got a beautiful, I guess, pre-spring day right now. It's beautiful and clear out there. The temperature's around about 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The trees are starting to get leaves back on them, and a lot of the flowers that bloom are actually starting to bloom a little bit early. So even though it's 9 days technically till it's begin spring, we are actually starting to get that real spring weather. However, give two more days from now, and we're actually going to get rain. We're going to get very, very heavy rain here in Sydney. It's going to come off from the coastline inland, and it's going to be quite torrential. So we're talking about 3 or 4 inches possibly. But the funny thing is, the Bureau of Meteorology, who normally around this time starts to give us a bit of an idea of what spring's going to look like, is actually having to not make those long-term forecasts. And the reason for this, John, is because of the climate right now. The climate is just so unpredictable that the Bureau of Meteorology this week has actually come out and admitted that all their models are completely wrong. In fact, they're throwing out their climate models. They're throwing out their long-term forecasting models and having to go back to the drawing board to figure out what they can do to reprogram them, because it turns out that the slight rise in temperatures in the Pacific Ocean, which is around about 1.6 degrees Fahrenheit, has thrown all the modeling off, which means that what we thought would be basically a nice warm spring and effectively not much rain, which is what was predicted only a few weeks ago, is probably completely wrong now. So, John, spring is now truly a surprise for us. It's truly a surprise for the Bureau of Meteorology. And the thing is, too, and this is, I think, the most interesting part, when we were talking about going into another El Niño cycle, which we have for a couple of months now, and that was driven by the Bureau of Meteorology, even that is now in doubt. The Bureau now admits that they are not quite sure if it's actually an El Niño or an El Niño cycle, which would give us a lot more dry weather and a lot more catastrophic fire, bushfire sort of like days, whereas if the El Niño will actually give us all that rain. But the Bureau of Meteorology can't trust its own models right now and doesn't know. So, John, I guess the long answer to your simple question is we are heading into a spring, but whether it's going to be a really rainy one or a really hot and dry one, we just don't know. And even the experts just don't know.
This sounds like the beginning of a science fiction thriller. You know, when the scientist and his beautiful daughter meet up with our rough and tumble adventurer, and they say, "We've never seen weather like this," or the sun is awfully bright, or "We've seen something headed to Earth, and we need to get this to New York right away." That sort of setup in the first act. I'm thinking of when worlds collide, for example. They don't have an explanation for what's happening, and that means that things are disruptive around the world. Have they ever not had an explanation before? Do they talk about that?
No, truth be told, that they really haven't had a period since the Bureau was established over, really the inception was over 70 years ago, they've never had a period where it's been so unpredictable. This is completely new territories. Certainly during my time, my sort of 47 years, I've never known the Bureau of Meteorology to actually come out and say, we simply don't know what's going to happen. The truth is, though, also that their short-term forecasts remain actually very, very good. So I did a bit of an experiment this week and had a look at the aviation forecasts, which are only 24 hours out in each instance, and they remain very, very accurate. But then when you went to the more commercial and the farming kind of 10-day, 15-day forecast, you can actually see it is very, very wrong. And you can get the feeling that a lot of their, I guess, predictions, because they change almost daily, especially the 10-day forecast, that they just don't know. And I have genuinely never known a period when the long-term forecasts have been so backwards and forwards and just so unpredictable, even as a consumer trying to understand them. This is truly a different period, John. This is something we haven't seen before ever.
Okay, let's pretend it's a normal springtime. Where would you watch for your weather change? Would it be from the tropics to the north, from the Indian Ocean from the west, from the Antarctic from the south? Where would you look for, oh, here comes springtime?
It's actually mostly the south initially. So what typically happens at the end of winter, we stop getting those Antarctic blasts. So we start to see the southern part of Australia begin to warm up. We no longer have those really bitterly cold days across the south in Victoria, in South Australia, and even some parts of Western Australia. That's where it warms up. And then the eastern seaboard here, we start to get really beautiful clear days, kind of like what I've got right now, if it wasn't for the rain coming just a few days from now. And that is the real tell that spring is changing. Then, really, I'd say about a month from now, so heading into October, November, so towards the end of the year, the northern part starts to, I like to say, get energized. Monsoonal season is once you see that northern sort of like wet weather system come through. And then, shortly after that, the summer's coming in when it's actually in reverse, I guess you could say. The north starts to see a little bit less rain coming through, less monsoonal activity. And then that translates to a much drier sort of southern part that turns really hot. So it's looking in the south that we actually start to see the spring. And honestly, right here and now, we, as of 2 weeks ago, we haven't had another Antarctic blast. We've had coldish days around Sydney, but nothing that's come up from the south. It's just a natural kind of cold switch of seasons kind of feel to it. So that's really the tell. Look to the south, and that'll tell you when spring's coming.
All right, the first act of the thriller is ending. The scientist says to the rough and tough adventurer, please get this to New York right away. There's no time. He takes it in his hand, and the beautiful daughter of the scientist who's most worried looks at him longingly. Okay, that's the first act of the play. Now, Jeremy, you can't slip springtime by me. Snakes. Random, venomous snakes. We've talked about them all winter, hiding in various warm places of houses. They're back outside now. Their breeding season is underway or ending, and they're everywhere. What snakes do you expect to find in your yard when you start to cut the grass?
I am expecting to see, first of all, the popular and the one we talk about the most, the brown snake, the great eastern brown snake. That's my first foe I'm expecting to find as I start to go through the backyard. The second one, because we had one earlier this year in around about January, the tiger snake, which is not as prevalent as the brown snake, but because there is a drain near here and they do like to hide in cool, warm, wet places. The tiger snake is almost certainly going to be somewhere around there. And I do have to say, I did try and get ahead of the curve. I've started to remove leaf matter. I've really tried to get the lawns that have grown a little bit down as short as possible in the last week or so. But I'll tell you, John, it's literally like living in a minefield. Every stone, every sort of leaf I turn over, I'm expecting either to find some kind of snake or something that I really don't want to find. So I am pretty much on tenterhooks right now with my backyard. But really, it's the brown snake and it's the tiger snake that I'm expecting to find. But having said that too, we do have red-bellied black snakes just near the creek. So there's every chance we could have the triumvir of snakes, all three of them at once. So yeah, that's something I'll be dealing with in the next couple of weeks, especially because as they start to come out of their slumber, they're very active. They go straight into a breeding season. As the weather gets warmer, they get much more energetic around this time of year. So this is really, I guess you could say, the nightmare period for us all.
All right, we're introducing the venomous snake. We're going to turn now to the story of venomous creatures continent-wide because everybody experiences it simultaneously. You might remember they had an extended breeding period. We're expecting big things, especially if the weather's changing. The venomous snakes will change their behavior. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.